Thank you, Pastor Lee, for letting me be able to share the word this morning. I appreciate the elders. And I wasn't expecting him here this morning, but he said he had to come and hear that great preacher. So. Anyway, it's a joy always to share God's word with you and to be with you today. I want us to talk a little bit about Elijah. And the title of my message is God's Help in Overcoming Difficulties. Because every one of us are facing difficulties in our life. We're going to face difficulties in our life. Just like the song we sang this morning, in the world you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have troubles. But I have overcome the world. And Elijah faced a crisis in his life. Now he was a great prophet. He did a lot of miracles. And you would think that somebody that great that could call fire down from heaven and do all kinds of raise people from the dead and do all kinds of miracles, that he would not be afraid. But fear is a terrible thing, and I think every one of us will face fear at times in our life, whether it be over a physical illness or a financial crisis or problems at work, whatever it might be, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing in your life this morning. God gave Elijah a plan, and it took some time. A lot of times we think, you know, God is immediately, boom, going to answer that prayer. But it was a process of time. It was at least a couple of months for Elijah before he got his feet on the ground and he was able to know exactly what to do. It took him 40 days to get where he was going, you know, to Mount Horeb. And so it's a process of time, what we're going through in our life. We don't understand everything that we're facing in our life at times. And Elijah faced a crisis in his life to the point that he was filled with fear and he ran for his life in a panic. And I asked a question this morning, and how many of you are in a panic this morning or you're facing a crisis in your life? There's something you're worried about in the back of your mind, something you're concerned about. And there's a solution, there's an answer to that. It's called trust. You know, trusting in God. And I want us to see in the scriptures what was going on with Israel and Elijah. I'll tell you a little story. When you read about this Elijah in chapter 17, you read about him going to a brook. And the Lord commanded Elijah to go to this brook. And he said, "You have plenty of water to drink, and I'm going to send the ravens that's going to bring you food. And you're going to be by this brook." So he stayed there for a long period of time. I can't remember exactly how long, but I think it was a couple of years. Finally, the brook dried up because, see, there was a famine in the land. God had told Elijah to go tell King Ahab that there would not be any more rain because they were worshiping false gods. They were worshiping Baal. And so he was by this brook, hiding out away from King Ahab, Jezebel. And God would come along and he would send the ravens and he'd have bread to eat and then he had water to drink. And then finally the brook dried up, and then the Lord told him to go join himself with this widow. And he did that. And one of the miracles that he did there was that she only had enough oil to make enough food for that one day. And she was thinking to herself, "This is going to be our last meal for me and my son. And we're going to die." But Elijah says, "Well, fix it for me first." And he says, "And the Lord will take care of everything." And sure enough, the Bible says that there was plenty of oil every day. I don't know how he did it, but every day she'd go, she'd use the oil and come back, and it was filled back up. And she had plenty of everything. You know, the Lord took care of everything. And another miracle was, during that time, her son passed away, and Elijah was able to raise that boy from the dead. And that was just some fantastic things. I don't know why we don't see miracles today like in the Bible times. Someone said that maybe in these third world countries it might happen more. I had a miracle that happened to me one time. I'll share with you. I call it a miracle because I would have never dreamed it would have happened. I was in St. Louis, Missouri, a little town about 15 miles south of St. Louis called Arnold. And I worked at a church as a youth minister. And they had a huge bus ministry. When I say huge bus ministries, they had over 20 buses that would go into the inner city of St. Louis. We'd pick up over 300 to 400 kids a week for Sunday school. They had 5 children's churches going the same time the regular service was going. But every Saturday, our practice was to go into the neighborhoods, knock on doors, and find out how many children would want to come to church. And I remember going into a little community between Arnold and St. Louis called Lima, Missouri. If you're from that area, you'd know what I'm talking about. And as I was knocking on the door, a little boy that rode my bus came to the door. His name was Butch, and he called me Brother Taylor. He said, "Brother Taylor," he said, "would you go see my grandmother? She's not expected to live. She's in the hospital." And I said, "Sure." So we went up and saw her that afternoon, and she was in intensive care. And you know, when you go into intensive care, many times they've got all kinds of tubes coming out of their body. They've got ventilators, all kinds of machines. And she couldn't talk because she did have the respirator. She had the thing down her throat. And I told her who I was, and I said, "Your grandson wanted me to pray for you. Would that be all right?" She shook her head, yes. And I just very gently put my hand on her forehead, and I said, "God, Mrs. Childress needs a miracle. Touch her." And I just prayed a simple prayer, and I left. Well, I figured the next time I'd be getting a call that she was at the funeral home and we'd be going down there for visitation. Next Saturday, I went around, she answered the door. She said, "Brother Taylor, thank you for healing me." I said, "Mrs. Childress, I didn't heal you. I said, I just prayed a prayer." And that was just one miracle in my life that God did for me. And he still is in the business of doing miracles. We may not see as many today as happened in the Bible days, but they do happen. They do happen. And so that was one miracle that happened with Elijah. He raised that little boy from the dead. But God had told Elijah to tell Ahab that there would not be no rain for 3 years because of their sin of worshiping false gods. So he took off. Elijah did. And he was by this brook. And one day, King Ahab told his governor, Obadiah, said, "We need to go out through the land and we need to find some grass and we need to find some water so that the horses and the mules will not die." He said, "I'm going to go this part of the kingdom, you go the other way." Well, Obadiah is walking along and all of a sudden he runs into Elijah, and he knew who Elijah was, and it scared him. And he bowed down because he knew he was a man of God, he was a prophet. Anyway, they had a conversation, and Elijah said, "Go tell Ahab that I want to talk to him." And Obadiah said, "Oh no." He said, "I go tell Elijah that you want to talk to him, and all of a sudden the Lord will take you away, and Elijah end up killing me for you because you're nowhere to be found." And so Elijah assured him, said, "Go tell him, and I will meet with him." So to make a long story short, Ahab met with Elijah, and the first thing out of Ahab's mouth says, "So you're the one that's troubling Israel." And Elijah said, "No, I'm not troubling Israel." He said, "You're the one troubling Israel because you're worshiping false gods and you're doing all these different things." He said, "There's going to be some rain. God's going to send some rain. I just want you to know that." But he said, "What I want you to do," he said, "I want you to take all the prophets of Baal and I want you to meet me up at Mount Carmel." So there was 450 false prophets. And the plan was that they were going to set up the sacrifice, and whatever God answered by fire was the true God. So they set the sacrifice up, and not only was the prophets of Baal there, but also Israel was there. He had summoned all the people of Israel to come out. So these prophets of Baal set up their bull, their offering and everything, and from early in the morning until midday they cried out to Baal, "Oh, send fire, you know, do this, do that." And finally it got so ridiculous that Elijah started mocking them and making fun of them, saying, "Well, is your God on vacation? What's the matter?" You know, and just all these things. And they even cut themselves, the Bible says, so the blood gushed out of their bodies, thinking that maybe their false God would answer by fire. But Elijah took some time. He rebuilt the altar. He took 12 stones, one for each of Israel, 12 stones, set them up. And then he told him, he said, I want you to take these three barrels, fill it up with water, and pour it over the offering. So they did. He said, do it the second time. So they filled up the barrels, poured it over the offering. He said, do it the third time. He had so much water that the water was, there was a trench around where they had the offering. It filled up the trench. It was just unbelievable. And then Elijah began to pray. Now, this took several hours because it said it happened during the evening sacrifice. So it took several hours for them to do everything. I don't know how long it took Elijah to rebuild the altar and to do all that he did, but he did all these things. And so it took several hours. And then he began to pray. And he asked God, he said, if you're really the true God and you're going to prove yourself today, then do this miracle. And the Bible says that fire came down from heaven. And it licked up the stones. It licked up the dust. It licked up the water. It consumed everything. It almost reminds you of a nuclear bomb or something. But I mean, it happened. And the Bible says that Israel said, God is the true God. You know, God of Jehovah is a true God. And then Elijah had all these false prophets. He said, let none of them escape. And he had all 450 of them put to death. Now, you can imagine what Elijah was feeling like, because I would imagine he was on a spiritual high because of that miracle. How many of you have ever been on a high? So I'm not talking about high with drugs. I'm talking about a spiritual high where just maybe something good has happened. Maybe you've gotten ready to graduate college or graduate high school. Maybe something else was taking place. Maybe you're getting ready to buy a new car. You know. By the way, thank y'all for praying for me, because I don't think I showed all of you my car, but I had a total loss a couple of Sundays ago, and it's just a miracle. I mean, I didn't get hurt at all. I just got a little bit of an abrasion on my wrist from the airbag. But just God was with me, and I thank God for that. And a lot of good things came out of that. And, you know, a lot of times we have bad things to happen, and we say, you know, what good can come out of this? But some good things came out of it, and I thank God for that. And I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I didn't die. Annie thought I had died. I was upside down. She was running around thinking I was dead. She was afraid to look in the car. I was yelling, you know, get me out of here. And I was in a panic myself, in a shock, because all I had to do is press the button and roll the window, you know, because the power was still on. But I was just in so much of a shock. I didn't know what to do. I was trying to kick the window out and everything else. Finally, she flagged a guy, off-duty policeman, and he came over and got the door open so I could crawl out. But thank God for that he took care of me and watched over me. And it just made me realize that maybe there's something that he wants me to do. You know, I can't do much, but maybe there's something that I can do. Maybe to be an encouragement, or lead somebody to Jesus Christ, or be a blessing to someone, be a blessing to my coworkers at work, or whatever. You know, maybe so. But before we get into chapter 19 and just look at a few things concerning Elijah and about what happened, I want to introduce you to Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Said Ahab was on the throne of Israel for 22 years, 1 Kings chapter 18, 30, verse 30. He did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. Verse 31 mentions that he had married Jezebel. She was known as an evil woman who brought Baal worship to Israel. She was the real power behind the throne. They teamed up in their wicked terror. Verse number 33 in chapter 18. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did any king of Israel before him. And I want us to look at a few things in chapter 19 that Elijah was going through, things that happened. And I just want you to know, you're no different than Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet, and he had a lot of things. You could see his human frailty. And today you might be sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, you know, when am I going to get some relief? You know, when is the Lord going to answer my prayer? You know, when is he going to help me? You know, I'm struggling. in a difficulty in my life. I just want you to know that God is mindful of you and He has not forgotten you. He's concerned. He knows exactly where you're at. He's got you right in the palm of His hand. He knows it. And I just want to encourage you today. I mean, discouragement is an awful thing. And we're going to look at these things in Elijah. But first of all, we see an amazing victory with Elijah. Look with me in chapter 18, if you have your Bibles, in verse number 46, the last verse. It says, or look at verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, I read in a commentary that it was a long ways from where Elijah was to Jezreel. I'm not exactly sure how long it was, but it was up in the miles. And I mean, you could get a commentary yourself and research it or look at a map. I can't remember exactly, but if I'm not mistaken, I think they said around 30 miles. So you know Elijah was pretty happy after this great victory because he ran before Elijah into the entrance of that city. You know, it just so we see this in his life. And then we see something that happened to Elijah. It was he faced a terrible fear. And there's nothing more sinister, more hard for us than fear. You know, what did one of the great leaders say? That we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But fear is a terrible thing. And look with me in chapter 19. And it says in verse number 2, Then Jezebel sent messengers unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Referring to the false prophets. I'm going to make your life the same way. You're a dead man. And so Elijah was gripped with fear. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get to worrying about something and I just can't shut it off. It just worry. And then you're laying in bed and you can't sleep, you're worrying. I think I might have told you one time I had an old 1989 Pontiac Bonneville and the inspection was coming due and I needed tires and I didn't have the money for the tires. I worried. And anyway, I wrecked that car and total lost it and I didn't have to worry about it no more. The Lord said, see, you don't have to worry, you know, take care of it. And sometimes we worry about something and, you know, and Elijah was gripped with fear. And then I want you to notice that there was a terrible isolation because what he did was he got into himself and he, in verse number 3, he says, And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. He left the person that was with him all the time there. And then the Bible says he went another day's journey into the wilderness. I mean, he was really picking them up and putting them down. He was getting away from there. He was afraid. He was afraid that his life was going to be taken. And let me just stop for a minute and just ask this question. If a man of God can call fire down from heaven and have all these 450 prophets put to death, then why would he be afraid and run? Because God was with him during that, God would be with him too. But it's amazing how that we get ourselves in a pickle. We don't mean to, but things happen. And all of a sudden we get frozen with fear. And we forget who the Lord is. We don't mean to, but we forget it. And you might be in that same situation this morning, you know, how am I going to overcome this? How is this going to be met? What, you know, what's going to happen, you know? And that's the way Elijah was. And then we see something else that took place with Elijah. We see self-pity. He found himself under a, King James says juniper tree. The New International Version says broom tree. I'm not sure exactly what kind of tree it was, but it was a tree. And he found himself there. If you look at verse number 4, it says, But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And so we see a lot of self-pity. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, where you just began to feel sorry for yourself. You know, you begin to think about everything that's going on and you begin to feel sorry for yourself. I just want to encourage you today that the Lord has not forgotten you. He's got you in the palm of His hand. He loves you. And sometimes we don't understand why we go through things, but we do go through those things. And God is able to help us and give us strength. And I want us to look at God's detailed plan for recovery to Elijah. He had a detailed plan for him, and He's got a detailed plan for you too. He got a detailed plan for me. We forget it sometimes. But I just feel like maybe this word is for somebody this morning. I don't know who. I'm not trying to come up with some kind of a spiritual, foreknowledge or something like that, but I do feel like, as the Lord was laying this on my heart, that I felt like maybe this was for somebody. So take this word and let it be planted in your heart, because the Word of God is powerful and it can help you. It can help me. First, let me say that God had Elijah in the palm of His hand. And I already said that. And He had you in His hand too. The first thing God told Elijah to do, or he was doing it because he was exhausted, he rested. And if you look in verse number 5, it says, "And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And rest is not always physical rest. It's spiritual rest. As we read in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your souls. Take your yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And sometimes it's hard to just take things and just say, "Okay, God, I'm giving it to you." But sometimes it's what He wants us to do. He wants to take our worries. He wants to take our concerns. He wants to take our difficulties we're going through and just say, "Okay, Lord, I'm getting out of the driver's seat. You do the driving. You do the driving, Lord." And just take it and just put it on Him. You know, you might be struggling with some sin in your life. I mean, I've struggled with this. And you feel so much guilt. I just want you to know you can take that and just roll it over on the Lord Jesus, and He'll lift that from you. I remember the night I got saved. I mean, he was a young man that was involved in all kinds of alcohol and drugs and all kinds of stuff, which I'm not proud of today. And God just lifted that from me. And He set me free. And I came home that night after going to that revival. I never forget that as long as I live, because the man that preached the revival was called James Bond. How are you going to forget that? You know? And God used that guy. I mean, he preached hell so hot I could feel it in the pews that night. But he made that altar call and that invitation, and I went forth and I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And it was like a ton of bricks that was lifted off of me. I was set free, and I came home that night. And it just felt so wonderful. I slept like a newborn baby, because all the stuff I was worried about, all the toil, the turmoil in my life was taken away. And the Lord can do that for you too. He can just lift that burden. He can take that sin away. It says in 1 John, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All unrighteousness. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has I removed your sins from you, your transgressions." You know, if you start walking eastward, you'll never get to the west. That's how far the Lord's taking your sins away. Somebody told me that one time a little boy was worrying about all of his sins and said God took it and threw it into the ocean, and he put up a big sign that said, "No fishing allowed." He don't want you to go back and looking for these things, you know, because all it's going to do is just get you down, get me down. But he wanted him to rest. And then the second thing that the Lord wanted Elijah to do was he wanted to give him spiritual renewal. I don't know if you remember a performer in a Christian community by the name of Andre Crouch, but he wrote a song called "Take Me Back to the Place Where I First Received You." Sometimes we forget about that. Now, For some reason, Elijah went to Mount Horeb. That was like over 40 days to where he was going. Now, Mount Horeb was a very special place because that's where Moses saw the burning bush. That's where the law was prepared. And so maybe in the back of Elijah's mind was, I need to go someplace where, you know, God can really, I can get close to God and where some miracles can take place. And so spiritual renewal took place for Elijah, but it didn't happen the way that he thought it was going to happen. You know, the first thing Elijah did was, when he got there, was he lodged in a cave. He was in this cave. And then we see what happened. Look with me in verse number 8. It says in chapter 19, verse number 8, "And he arose and did eat and drink and went into the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" That was a question, you know. It wasn't no big thing like, you know, God was going to do a miracle. I'm going to see a burning bush like Moses or whatever. God said, what are you doing? You know, you're supposed to be back there helping Israel, you know, and you're here. What are you doing here? You know, he asked him that question, and Elijah gave an answer. He said, I'm very jealous for you, Lord. I'm the only one that's serving you. We found out later that there were 7,000 that still had not bowed to Baal. But he felt like he was the only one at that time, you know, and that was his answer to God. And then, so God began to do something in Elijah's life. And verse number 11, he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by." And it says, "A great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." But the Lord was not in the wind. You know, he thought God was going to be in the wind. I tell you what, I have learned by serving the Lord, you can't really outguess Him. I've tried to outguess Him a few times. I remember one time, I was living in this apartment, and I couldn't keep up with my rent. I just wasn't making enough money. Not that I was a deadbeater, I couldn't pay my bills, I just didn't have enough money. How many of you know that? Yeah, I know this Italian guy, his name is Sponzolo, because my funds are low. So. But anyway, I found myself in this apartment, and I'm praying, oh God, you know, you got to do a miracle. You know, Lord, you know, help me. And I figured, well, Lord's going to lay it on somebody's heart, and they're going to send me a check. You know, going to take care of me, you know. I prayed. And lo and behold, my landlord came to me and said, if you'll paint some of my buildings, he said, you can live in your apartment rent free. So all weekends I was painting apartments and everything. That's how God answered my prayer. So you can't really outguess the Lord. You know, sometimes we think we can, but we can't, you know, and so God took care of my needs that way. And it wasn't the way that I thought He was gonna do it. But we see that God wasn't in this wind. And then it says in verse 11, it says, but the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake took place. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. In verse number 12, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after a fire, a still small voice. And it was with the still small voice that Elijah recognized it was the Lord. Because in verse 13, it says, and it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. You know, sometimes we can get so busy, we don't mean to be. It's the cares of life, it's paying bills, it's working, all these things, that we flood out the Lord trying to do something for us. We can't hear it. You know, we think it's going to be this way, that way, but it's actually that still small voice. So I'd encourage you this morning to don't block out the Lord. Listen to what He has to say. He has something for you this morning. He has a detailed plan for you. He loves you. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about your needs. He knows your needs even before you ask. He's concerned. So don't flood Him out. Listen to Him. Listen to that still small voice. Then Elijah did something that the Lord told him to do. The Lord gave him some direction. verse number 14 says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel. Here he is with that same line again. Having forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. Have you ever been worried about something or concerned about something and you kept praying about it and all of a sudden something came to you and it just felt right? It wasn't no audible voice. It's just something came to you. It's just like something in your heart. And you just knew, you just felt better. You felt comforted. That's the way the Lord speaks to me many times. I'll be struggling in a men's prayer meeting. I know they get tired sometimes of me requesting. I know when I was working on my vision exemption, I about wore that thing out. But I had you guys praying for that thing every Sunday. You know, but it happened. The Lord answered that prayer. But then sometimes I'll just be praying and praying and praying, and all of a sudden I'll just get a peace. It's just like I get a word. I get a word from the Lord. And that's what happened to Elijah. He got a word, and the Lord told him, gave him some direction. He said, I want you to go back, and I want you to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And he said, I want you to anoint Jehu. You know, and Jehu should have been a NASCAR driver because it said in the Bible that he drove his chariot furiously. You know, but he was something. But Jehu was anointed, and he was used by the Lord too. And one of the other things that's real important for us as Christians is we need one another. Very, very important. It says in Ecclesiastes that a threefold cord is stronger than one. You know, and there's a song written many moons ago called One is the Loneliest Number. That's so true. You know, just be alone. And so what happened? God told him, said, I want you to go find Elisha. And he became his friend. That's why it's so important that we have fellowship as Christians. It's so important. A lot of times when you're going through something, you can call up a brother or sister and share that burden with you. It says in the Bible that it says that open confession is good for the soul. And it's good just to have fellowship. And look with me in verse number 19. It says, and so he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back and from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered to him. And you'll be amazed how that another Christian brother and sister can just minister to you. We need that sometimes. I mean, I've called people up and said, hey, would you please pray for me? You know, I need the Lord to help me with this. And it just really helps. And Jesus confirmed it. He said, where two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And so it's important, you know, very, very important. So, in closing this morning, I want to just talk to you very, very briefly about the cave that Elijah was in. And I want to ask you the question, what cave are you in this morning? You know, I know what cave I've been in. What cave are you in? You know, Elijah was in a cave, verse 9, and he came thither into the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? You know, what are you facing? What difficulty are you facing? I just want to encourage you, if God can give Elijah a detailed plan, having him to rest, take all your burdens and put on him, having spiritual renewal, finding direction in his life to know exactly what to do, and then getting support from another Christian, we can do it too. You know, and I just encourage you, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, for everything you've done for us. And we pray, Lord, you would continue to help us with our difficulties in life. Help us to take our difficulties, Lord, and turn them over to you. Help us to learn to rest, Lord, and not only physically, but also spiritually, Lord. Help us to become, Lord Jesus, renewed spiritually, Lord. Help us to allow all these things to happen in our life. And whatever cave we're in this morning, help us to just listen to what you have to say and help us to do what you want us to do. Give us that direction. Give us that word. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we give you praise. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.